Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 127. Going to get you ready for the week five fab up ahead this weekend. Talk about some recent news and much, much more. Probably some good hijinks throughout the show. Just guessing on this one. You can find me on Twitter at BD Intric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
You're a pro's pro, Bubba. Cleaning up my mess. I've got the board up when we kick things off for the live stream. You took that down. I've already gotten names of people wrong on our pre-pod chat. So tonight'll be a doozy. I'm doing pretty good. I am on wife's out of town, so I got both kids double dad duty this week. So
yeah, that's kind of wear you down this weekend.
It's been a week, but I'm doing well.
It's T-ball coming up by yourself. It's gonna be a fun weekend for you.
Swimming lessons tonight, T-ball tomorrow night, T-ball Saturday.
Oh man, good times. Gonna get Papa Bloom around to help show him around a little bit.
Yeah, he'll lend some support for sure.
Good. But yeah, no, we're ready to rock and roll. We got week five fab. It was only four games on Thursday, which is a massive bummer. But the traveling, I guess, you know, all the new rules in the CBA, you got to give them their days. And that's kind of where we're at on this one. And yeah, not a whole lot else going on, unfortunately. So let's get in to the news on this one. And we'll start with Jack Leiter. Everyone was pumped when this got announced, I think on Tuesday, actually, that Jack Leiter is making his debut on Thursday against the Detroit Tigers. Let's just say it didn't go great for Jack Leiter as he threw 3 2/3 innings, allowing 7 runs in this debut. Obviously, common sense says this could have been better, but what's your thoughts on how this all went down for Mr. Jack Leiter?
I actually watched some of it. It was funny. It was the first inning went like completely smooth, and they found Al and family in a box somewhere, and they were all pumped up after the first inning, and then it was just like a steady progression all the way down. Didn't get all the way to Pete Fairbanks level type of
type of
reactions from the family, but it was that was semi comedic. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing you can't take away much from a debut. Whatever you think of Leiter before, you think of Leiter now. I mean, he was pumping 98. I'm sure there was some adrenaline going there, but no whiffs on a slider, no whiffs on 23 sliders, one whiff on 11 curves. Like, the secondaries weren't there. Did not get helped out. I think it was Leody Taveras in center field basically just missed a ball. It was so bad they ruled it a triple, and I think cost Leiter 2 or 3 runs or whatever. But I don't know. We talked about him a little bit last time. The key is what Texas will do in the medium term with Leiter. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I don't know yet. So
yeah, we'll have to wait and see this weekend, because even looking at projected starters for next week, he's not there. He's not on the books. So we'll wait and see. You'd imagine this was maybe a one-time shot, but you never know. Like we said the other day, if you called them up, why wouldn't you use them for more than one?
And if anything, the bad debut, the fab price is not going to be much. Like, people will not be going crazy in fab for what they saw today. This is an outing where fab would have been $100 more if Leiter shoved. And so you'll be able to get them cheap if you believe in them. And again, don't take away too much from one debut, but just try and get a feel for how long he's going to be in the rotation.
Yep, he'd likely get Seattle next week, possibly. So that would be a nice strikeout upside matchup for Mr. Leiter. But Leiter threw 85 pitches on Thursday. Yep. That's 20 more than Paul Skeens in AAA. He threw 65 pitches over 3 1/3 innings with 8 Ks, 1 hit, and 2 walks. This is kind of just, people are expecting it by now, but I thought we'd bring this up because it surprised me. I even saw Chris Clegg tweet this out as well. As there was an update saying Skeens will not start for the Pirates on Friday. He needs more like stretching out, lengthening in games, so on and so forth. And Clegg was like, well, we weren't expecting him up, so this is weird. Then it made me laugh that he threw 65 pitches and 3 1/3 on Thursday night after they just said he needs to stretch out and get going. So what I say is, if that's their philosophy, he can't even be that close, it feels like.
And I don't understand why. If we've learned anything in the 3-week-long season that this has been, is that pitchers throwing all out, going as hard as they can, are basically ticking time bombs. And I'm going to pull this stat from the Underdog MLB account that I know we both follow very closely. Those 65 pitches, Bubba, that you mentioned, 34 of those 65 were 100 miles an hour or more. Like, Paul Skenes is ready.
He's
now.
The poster boy. It's the poster boy.
Exactly. Like, this is not going to, I hope it lasts, but no one else on earth has been able to keep this, you know, in like the history of baseball, has been able to keep something like this up for a prolonged amount of time. So, like, the clock is ticking on Mr. Skenes. And we've got Joe Arrico in the chat. I worry about Skenes becoming familiar with Dr. Eletrach. Probably butchered that pronunciation.
That's actually pretty close. Pretty darn close. I'll give you credit on that one.
But I just think, like, the clock is ticking. It's going to happen. Might as well throw these bullets while they are in the majors, because for him to be going, like, it's just weird. Yes, okay, stretch him out, but then why are 34 of your 65 pitches over 100 miles an hour? Like, yeah. I don't know.
The Pirates have the Marlins philosophy on getting their young pitchers ready for the season with a Max Meyer, Yuri Perez treatment, unlike other teams like the Jays that at least allow Yariel Rodriguez to do it in the bigs type situation. So we'll see.
I mean,
we'll see
they I don't want to be too hard on Pittsburgh. They do have Quinn Priester and Bailey Falter, you know, blocking schemes.
Priester's getting called up to pitch on Friday. He wasn't even with them until this. They picked Priester. They must be a religious team. I don't know, over Skenes on that one.
Jesus,
too easy.
I respond with that.
Yeah.
No, that was obviously very sarcastic of me. Quinn Priester and Falter should not be blocking Mr. Skenes.
I expect nothing else from anyone that doesn't know about Samson would not understand the Priester stuff. I get it. I totally get it.
Dude, thought of, by the way, Samson poster boy. This is completely random, but maybe last week, the Red Sox had their like 20th anniversary World Series thing, and Johnny Damon was out there, and that is the ultimate Samson.
Yes he is. Yes, he
had
is.
The long hair, looked like a caveman with the
he
Red
was a
Sox.
Dirt bag was with the Red Sox, yes.
And then got all cleaned up, cut things up, and Yankee time was not
never
great.
Never the same. See, it's I'm telling you, there's something.
I'm learning from you, man. I'm learning, you know, modern applications of old
biblical references,
old tales.
All right. Speaking of the Red Sox, Tyler O'Neill hit the concussion IL on Thursday. I find this just funny from doing my daily news stuff. He collided with Devers on Monday, Patriots Day, left the game, had to get stitches. And every day they said, yes, he's going through protocol, but he does not have a concussion. He's just not up to game shape right now. He can't do baseball activities. Got that for two straight days. Now on Thursday morning, Tyler O'Neill has a concussion. Two theories for this. Maybe he does. I'm also thinking he's so banged up, put him on the 7-day IL, get a roster spot filled instead of the 10-day IL, and hope he comes back in time. Because you can use it, because technically you could say he has a concussion with what took place. That's my theory. Who knows? Maybe he does have the concussion, but it just feels like he doesn't. Oh, wait, now he does. And Rob Refsnyder comes off the IL. So do with that what you wish.
I think you're digging a little deep there, man. We'll see. I wouldn't move.
I went to the Zach Waxman School of Investigative Journalism.
Investigations. I wouldn't move heaven and earth to get Rob Refsnyder, a fellow University of Arizona grad, I will say. But I don't know. In all seriousness, like the Tyler O'Neill thing, you just hope it's not. Major. What we saw with Rizzo last year, and obviously for O'Neill himself, like it's not a bad concussion, that sort of thing. But just the way that O'Neill started, just keep an eye on how he looks when he comes back. Hope he comes back and is the same player.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's why it's like it probably is a concussion. I'm trying not to be too negative, but at the same time, like it kind of seems weird, just kind of the way it took place. So we'll see. Rafael Devers, shoulder's apparently fine. Yeah, that was a good one, by the way. Concase O says Priestine and Faulting go hand in hand. That is very, very true. Rafael Devers had a knee injury. Shouldn't even have played yesterday on Wednesday when he played. He looked bad. Played on Thursday with a knee contusion due to an MRI saying a knee contusion. So nothing apparently too crazy. I honestly think he might sit most of the weekend. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yep. For weekend lineups, keep an eye on it. But it doesn't sound like they dodged a bullet.
Yeah, they dodged a bullet, but if he is not in Friday's lineup, I'd probably sit him for the weekend.
That's agreed.
Yu Darvish hit the IL with a neck injury. that is obviously better than a wrist or a shoulder or an elbow or a forearm or anything like that. But he's still going to be out for a little bit here. It looks like Randy Vasquez is going to take his spot in the rotation as of now. He's got Colorado next week in Coors, so you can kind of pass on that one. But just something to keep in mind with Yu Darvish.
Yep, agreed, and agreed on the pass on Randy Vasquez with the at Coors start. So look elsewhere. Maybe even start Colorado. I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will get there shortly. But speaking of Colorado, Chris Bryant, back injury, IL.
Dude.
It's not the reusable tweet thing, but it is 2024. So he's a cut for me. That's why I wanted to bring him up. I think he's a cut in 12-team and shallower leagues, but I'll let you have the floor on this one.
It's funny how, and this isn't like just completely fantasy relevant, it's funny how we all pile on Anthony Rendon, who is actually kind of producing so far this year. And Chris Bryant gets a pass. Like, I don't know how motivated Chris Bryant is to play for the Rockies, to be totally honest with you.
The writing on the wall on that one.
Exactly. No one really talks about that, but it was just something that kind of entered my mind today as we were prepping. So I don't know, from a fantasy standpoint, what it's Bouchard.
Sam Bouchard or Sean Bouchard
of Justin Mason lore.
Yep. That's his guy.
Does have some power. And as we will talk about in the Fab preview, I think Colorado is at home for all of next week. So that could be an option.
I'm just going to throw this out there because it's not a listener question per se, but Taylor Johnson on Twitter just tweeted, Taylor Swift is dropping a new album the same time Bubba and the Bloom go live with their week 5 preview. Excited to see who gets more streams and listens in the next 24 hours.
She just dropped a new album while we're on the air.
Yep, a new album about all her love struggles in life, yes.
Well, there goes our viewership.
Yep, gone. Appreciate it. That's definitely our target demo. So we got that going against us. Last bit of news here, Garrett Whitlock to the IL with an oblique injury. This is a fun one where the team actually saved the young kid from himself because he said he wanted to keep playing. And that's one of those where that's when it gets bad quickly. That's how Yoan Moncada was already feeling groin tightness and he kept playing and boom, now he's out for like 6 weeks. Whitlock will be out for 10 days, maybe, or 15 days because the pitcher IL is longer. Maybe longer. We'll see. But what I wanted to bring up for you here, and for those that love my pronunciations and names, you're going to love this one. Looks like Naoki Uesawa is getting the call, 30-year-old pitcher who has given up 7 runs in 10 innings at AAA this year. So, yeah, not good.
I think you just cost us another 4-star review, Bubba.
Yep. Hey, I tried. If someone can beat me to it, go for it.
I think you got that. Yeah, I wouldn't go there. I did. So it's somewhat tangentially related. It sounds like Nick Pivetta's making good strides and we'll be back soon. So that's good.
We should get some Nick Pivetta news, I would hope, Friday, if not Saturday, for sure. He's throwing the bullpen, and if all goes well, he might not even rehab, so he could easily slide into that situation. So yep,
exactly.
We might not see the 30-year-old after all, and I just ruined a pronunciation for no reason. So there we go.
I think you know. I mean, I think you nailed it.
The way it's spelt, I think I did good. Knowing it's a different culture, might have butchered it. So apologies. But my name has been mispronounced my entire life. So go get them.
And spelled wrong.
Yes, frequently. Spelled wrong frequently. So enjoy. Okay. All right. Week 5. Oh, here we go.
Well, we have a pronunciation in the chat. We got Eric here.
Naoki Uesawa says Bleacher Reference. I was actually close on the last name. Didn't get the first name right. I was actually close on the last name.
So you failed.
Yep. Thanks, Eric. No, just kidding. Thank you.
That was good stuff. Thanks, Eric. Yeah,
it's perfect
timing. We do like to pronounce, jokes aside, we do like, and the inside joke here is we received we're not bitter at all, but we received our first ever non-5-star review because Bubba, you aren't pronouncing names right while I'm getting complete
names wrong
mixed up.
He was discussing a quarterback from his grave. Instead of the pitcher for the
Rangers. Instead of the Rangers pitcher Michael Lorenzen.
And people should know we record late on the evenings if we're having a good time and nothing means it's personal. So
exactly.
Yeah, go that direction. All right, week 5 Fab. Another fun week ahead here. I know you tweeted it out last week first for week 4, and I've done some stuff. Pitching has been bleak, folks, and I really don't see it getting better anytime soon. So we'll do our normal stuff here. Ryan, why don't you let everybody know what we got going this week?
No, you're right. I tweeted that out last week that I've been doing the Baseball HQ Fab. I've been on that beat for, this is my third year, and it's like, there probably have been worse pitching weeks than what we saw last week in terms of the Fab pool, but not in April. Not in April. And history says, like, if it's bad in April, it's just going to get worse. Like, the pitching doesn't just magically get better, usually, with time. And we're not seeing, like, maybe we will with Skeens at some point. We're not seeing that, like, Bibee, Mason Miller, Yuri Perez, week after week after week, pitching prospect, which a lot of the prospect folks kind of predicted coming into this year. A bunch of people were saying that was kind of a one-off last year. Go ahead.
So real quick, now that you mentioned that, though, before we dive in for good, a name, if he's available, if you are a prospect stasher, is a guy I have on a ton of my DCs, and he is dealing in AAA, is Drew Thorpe of the White Sox. He got traded from the Yankees to the Padres, Padres to the White Sox in this offseason, and he's going like 6 and 7 innings in his starts, 80 to 90 pitches. The White Sox have no reason to keep him back. So that would be one that I could see actually coming up sooner than later and might actually have an impact. So, sorry, but back to you. That's good.
I'll throw Christian Scott onto the mix too. I know I've talked about him a bunch, but Christian Scott as well. The Mets cannot keep Christian Scott down for that long. So Scott and Drew Thorpe.
Yeah, everyone's focused on Skeens, and yes, the dude's a beast, but also how long is the question? These other guys are actually stretched out and ready to roll.
Yep.
So, okay, as you were.
All right. Yeah, no, this is, same old, same old. We've got the each team. We're just going to run through kind of each team and the schedule and just little tidbits of guys as we go. Who knows which rabbit holes will go down quick and which ones we won't. But I've got each team with their WRC plus for the season. League average on that is 100. The lowest has actually used to be the Miami Marlins. The worst team by WRC plus right now is the Chicago White Sox. So
yeah, it checks out.
That does check out. And given the White Sox schedule, we'll get to it. It's going to only get worse. It's just freaking brutal. We've got each team, the number of games coming up. This is all starting Monday. So again, this is not over the weekend. This is to get your mindset. And I know I have been starting doing my Fab on Fridays this year. Weekends are just so busy for me. So if you're doing your Fab on Fridays or even Saturdays, even Sundays, listen to us on Sunday, but just to kind of get your mindset schedule wise. And we'll talk about CBS players after that. But we've got opposing teams, starting pitchers, and opposing team strikeout minus walk, all in one nifty sheet that we're showing on the live stream here and on the YouTube video for archived purposes.
One other tidbit from here, the Astros only play 5 games this week, all on the road. And we have 11 teams with 7 games. So if you do the quick math, 11 plus 1 is 12. 18 teams play 6 games this week. So,
yeah, this is the first week in, I think, 3 weeks where we have a 5-game week. Yeah. And actually, it's a weird week. So it is the Houston at Colorado series is just Saturday, Sunday.
Why?
So that's why Houston has an off day. Like either Monday, probably I think Monday and Friday, and so the weekend core series is 2 games.
I remember that, and like those interleague ones. I remember like the A's and Giants will play. It's like a Saturday and Sunday and stuff like that.
Yeah, every now and then that happens.
So dumb.
It's got to be interleague because
dumb. So anyway, a couple of things real quick. Concase says Buto is blocking Scott. Sadly, he is. And then Chuck mentions, feels like this year in MLB is raising the bar for poverty franchises. That is 100% correct. Okay. I even saw a tweet today about the ticket sales for that doubleheader for the White Sox. And they're basically saying Reinsdorf is doing everything he can to move the team to Nashville, kind of like the A situation with Vegas. So,
sounds familiar.
Yes. Yeah. Looks very, very
similar. I did, because the A's actually aren't half bad.
No,
like right now. Dude. I liked your tweet that we're like actually might be living a modern day major league.
Dude, game. I am all for it. I will be in the stands. I will like, I will do it all.
That's right. You can go up there.
Like, I'm real tempted. Like, I'm not talented enough, but if it gets to midseason and it's interesting, I might go find a cutout with and put the dude's face on it and get creative with things and like have a video, like have it behind me in the here and have some fun with it.
Because I don't think we have to worry about that, but it would be pretty damn okay. Funny.
I'll ever made to do it, he'll do it. But because he hates Mr. Fisher, that's very, very clear. But yeah, it's modern day right now, the way they're scrambling things around. So and to top it off is they have the announcer similar to Major League. Like, you got I just totally blanked. I always want to say Doolittle. It's not Doolittle.
Dallas Braden.
Braden. I love Braden. And you can just hear his excitement on the mic. It's totally the whole Major League setup all over again. It's great. It's absolutely amazing. So all right, let's get schedule team by team. Here we'll start. It's always in alphabetical order. Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games on the week, all on the road, facing 5 righties. You got Lynn, Matz, Gibson, Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert. That is a good section. Well, depends if you believe in Kirby or not. Beginning of the week, solid. End of the week, tougher. But if you like some Arizona bats that are available, this is them, if available.
Yeah, and the 5 righties. So, like, I think a Jock Peterson, if you need some power, could work. Jake McCarthy isn't playing half bad and is playing every day against right-handed pitching. Jake McCarthy's hitting 278 with 2 steals, so 30% strikeout rate beneath that. But Jake McCarthy's a interesting stolen base play. I do wonder, one thing to look out for, just because I have him on a few teams, is Blaze Alexander.
Yep.
How much he will play. It's not a strict platoon. Blaze does play against right-handed pitching, and the Diamondbacks should not be playing Jace Peterson. I don't know what that's all about, but it could be a couple off days for just Blaze.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. If you're looking, just I usually use NFBC, but we'll keep this to a Yahoo. I got Yahoo roster rates here. Jock Jams is only rostered in like 4% of Yahoo leagues right now. So if you're looking for a stream for the week, Jock would be a pretty, pretty solid one, like you said. Atlanta Braves, they got 6 this week, all at home. 3 lefties, 3 righties, and let's be honest, most Braves are rostered outside of like a Duvall, but with the split, makes it difficult.
Yeah, Duvall, I think in the first half of next week's interesting because it's Trevor Rogers and AJ Puck that they're facing.
How is Puck still there?
I don't know. He was sick for his last start. I don't know if he still exists. He was sick for his last start. He was supposed
to pitch today.
Today got rained out.
So he's scheduled to pitch tomorrow now.
Yeah, so which would line him up for that Wednesday start. So Adam Duvall in either weekly leagues or like NFBC where you can do midweek swaps. Adam Duvall in the front half. Adam Duvall is not playing at all against right-handed pitching. But in those games against lefties, that I think that's your one actionable item with the Braves.
Yep, 100% with you there. Baltimore Orioles, 6 games next week, 3 lefties, 3 righties, 3 on the road, 3 at home. Detmers has been great, and you got Canning and Anderson, so 2-year, 3 lefties to start the week, 1 to finish the week. It's the Oakland A's. We make fun of them, but like Sears isn't getting blown up, and Blackburn's been decent. Blackburn's blow-up's coming, though. Just throwing it out there, watching his starts. Baltimore's a beast. I don't really know who you know, picking up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see what you're doing. The one Baltimore thing that again in deeper leagues, if you still have Austin Hayes on your teams like I did, make sure to not have that situation anymore because he's being phased out. So just a heads up.
Try to do whatever you can to not have Austin Hayes would be the answer on that one. And to all you cow lovers out there, he's not available anymore. So, hey, you should be glad I'm a nice guy because there's been so many pictures sent to me of people dressed up like cows in Baltimore that I've not sent them to you. So
I saw a dude. I was watching. I forget which game it was, but Orioles game. There was a dude. There's a bunch of people that it's either cows or people dress up as Bowser.
Yes. Well,
from Mario.
I'll find it while we talk. There's a really good one. But all right, let's go to the next one on the list here. Boston Red Sox, they have 6 this week, 3 at Cleveland, 3 at home versus the Cubs, 5 right-handed pitchers this week, which is pretty nice. The only lefty in it finishes the week in Wicks of the Cubbies. So a nice little week for Boston. Willy Abreu should get plenty of run here.
I think so. Willy Abreu is like hitting in the middle of the order against right-handed pitching, so that could work. The problem with Willy Abreu is like I don't know how long he can stay hitting in the middle of the order, striking out 38% of the time with a 176 batting average and no home runs. Mm-hmm. So you hope that turns around quickly because Willy Abreu can steal.
He's stealing likes a lot him. Of bags right now.
Exactly. He's got four bags. And so you're just kind of hoping that he just kind of hangs in there, can make it through the weekend, maybe pick something up in terms of production with the bat. And then you've got a nice little week for Willy Abreu lined up. There's also like Emmanuel Valdez, but that's digging a little too deep. And playing that lefty-righty split game.
Yeah,
so
that is a little rough in that regard. But, yeah, that's what I would go with. Abreu's running like crazy while he's on the base paths right now. So that would be my two cents. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week, three at home versus Houston, three on the road against Boston, and it's all right-handed pitching. So it does open up some platoon situations. If somehow Bush is still available, like fix that immediately. But what else are you seeing there with the Cubs?
Not a great week for like a Garrett Cooper. Mike Tauchman is interesting to me. We talked about that with the Seiya Suzuki injury on the Tuesday show. It looks like it's a pretty strict platoon between Tauchman and Alexander Canario in right field. And so Tauchman should get boatload of plate appearances next week. It's in your typical batting average leagues. I don't like Tauchman. It's an empty batting average. But in OBP leagues or points leagues, Tauchman, given his plate patience, I think is a sneaky good ad who should play five or six times next week for the Cubs because obviously Seiya Suzuki is not coming back. The only risk there, I guess, is if they try Canario for a game or two next week, that would eat into Talkman's time. But Tauchman in OBP or points leagues is interesting to me.
Yep, I could see that for sure with Tauchman. Chicago White Sox, they play seven next week. They get the Twins in Minnesota for four and then at home for the three against the Rays. All seven right-handed pitchers, so it's another Gavin Sheets week, baby.
It is and it isn't.
Wait
so it is and it isn't.
Minute.
So,
because
and that's why I have pitching. Look at that dark red cell. So the seven starting pitchers going against the White Sox they next week have a combined 20% or 19% strikeout minus walk rate, which is elite. They get somewhat of a pass with Chris Paddock in the first game, but then it's Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Zach Eflin, Aaron Civale, Zach Littell. That's what I was alluding to earlier, that the MLB worst offense, the White Sox will get even worse this week. So I am with you on Gavin Sheets. Like Gavin Sheets will play seven times, and I think in definitely in 15 teamers, that's worth an ad. It's just this isn't like a golden schedule because the quality of pitcher is the toughest of any team this week. The only other thing I'll add here, we mentioned it on Tuesday, but Tommy Pham probably makes his debut with the White Sox sometime next week. So if we are previewing Fab, look for Tommy Pham because he's still really good.
Yes, very, very good. I'm with you on that. And yes, you're right. Gavin Sheets might not be the Lord and Savior, but he does have a home run already this week with their six righties.
Say, he made us look good.
I'm not drafting Gavin Sheets for a batting average. I'm drafting him to get me a couple home runs each week that he plays like this.
So. And I mean, Joe Ryan, he's a great pitcher. Bailey Ober is a good pitcher. Yep. They do have home run problems.
They have something in common. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, they do. Cincinnati Reds, they get seven this week. They get four at home against Philadelphia, then three at the Texas Rangers, two lefties, five righties. Feels like most of Cincinnati is already accounted for when it comes to those platoon situations, but who are you looking at?
Yeah, I don't really.
Like Nick Martini, is that what does it for you?
No. Martini does not. He's not the straw.
He's more shaken, not stirred. Yes.
Exactly. Maybe Jake Fraley. I would think Jake Fraley is mostly rostered, but you can look at Jake Fraley.
I can tell you right now.
And getting five games against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, Fraley's only 38% rostered in Yahoo right now. So he's available if you need him.
Mr. Yahoo over here.
Well, I'm trying
you
to
must
be nice.
You must be hanging around with Orico lately.
I'm trying to be good for the people. We've talked about this. I know. Concase has a question. Drop Eloy for Fam. That's a legit question.
That's a good question.
I'd take Fam.
Honestly. I would take Fam. I would wait until we know when Fam is going to come up. There's actually a clause in Fam's contract. I think he has to be up by April 25th.
Most minor league deals are like that. Yeah.
Okay. Or else he's free. Again, I don't know what the JD Martinez deadline was there, but injuries maybe.
What it is they have to call him up by the 25th or he has to agree to stay down.
Gotcha.
JD's agreed to stay down until he's ready.
Because he can't walk.
Yeah. Well, that too. But and plus, JD didn't sign a minor league deal. He signed a major league deal and agreed to go down. So okay. It's a whole mess.
I would go Pham over Eloy, to be honest.
I go Pham as well. Once he's up, I'd do that for sure. Cleveland Guardians, they have 6 this week, 3 at home against Boston, 3 on the road against the Atlanta Braves, 5 right-handed pitchers, but I'll let you have the floor on this because I see a red color.
Yeah, we got red. We've got red meaning opponent quality is very difficult, and so it's Tanner Houck. It's it's Bernardino.
Yeah.
But then you get Brian Bay. It's a tough schedule. It's Charlie Morton, Reynaldo Lopez, who a little bit over his head. But the 5 righties for Cleveland is mildly interesting. Really, the only actionable thing there is Will Brennan, who might be able to get you some speed. I think hit a home run this week as well.
Yes, he did. Pinch hit.
So Will Brennan, again, only hitting 208, but good K rate, has some power and can run a little bit. So Will Brennan is probably more of a 15 team play, but someone I'd be interested in.
Yep, for sure. Colorado Rockies, 6 games this week, all at home in Coors and against right-handed pitching. Problem is Colorado Rockies. So what are we seeing here? Cause it feels like maybe Michael Toglia, if anything,
What I'm like. I like if Brenton Doyle's available. I like Brenton Doyle, and he's not going to get you batting average, but a really good power speed source. And again, those 6 Colorado games are something. But we are in a time where it's just really hard to recommend these guys. Maybe Elias Montero at first base, but I wouldn't do Toglia.
Yeah, Toglia's hitting 122 with 4 home runs.
Yeah. I mean, 4 home runs isn't half bad, but geez. Everyone else, I think, is probably rostered. So
yeah, Toglia 0% rostered, Doyle 10%, so they're out
you
there.
you might want to check Charlie Blackman. I don't know the Yahoo roster rate on Blackman, but it is 6 right-hander, so Blackman will lead off at home 6 times next week,
because I added him in an OC last week. I have him a couple shares now. Blackman is only 15% Yahoo. He should be rostered everywhere, even not just for the matchups next week. He's producing.
He's actually somewhat of a renaissance. He's 37, but he's hitting 254, a homer.
He's leading off every day.
Yep, lead off every day. 12% strikeout rate, a few barrels. Charlie Blackman is who knows how long it lasts, but he hasn't been that bad this year. And again, this week he'll get some things. We've got Gialdi in the chat. Chris Bryant almost made it 3 weeks. I don't know if you heard by Gialdi, Anthony Rendon, Chris Bryant comp from earlier, but I'm standing by that one.
All right, Detroit Tigers have 6 games this week, 3 at Tampa, 3 at home versus the Royals, 5 right-handed pitchers. If you believe Parker Meadows can figure out how to hit, he's your dude, but I don't, so he's not mine. Who else might you be looking at?
That's pretty much it. Meadows hit a home run this week.
Yeah, then he sat again today.
He did sit again today.
Against the right-handed pitcher in Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
So that just I don't know what they're doing with him. It's rough. It's rough in those streets.
Yeah, not much else I would add from that's a tough, that's a pretty tough schedule, including your boy, Brady Singer. That's going against Detroit. Right,
clip that, people. Clip that one. That was actually
I forget which bet I have against you with Singer, but Singer's winning.
So Gialdi said better off with Austin Meadows so far. What's really funny is the bench with Bubba with Joe Arrico I did earlier. Joe Arrico made the same comment that you might be better off rostering Austin Meadows than Parker Meadows right now. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. All right, Houston Astros, we talked about, they're the only team with 5 games this week, all on the road, 2 at Colorado. They start the week with 3 in Wrigley, and I'm not saying it's hard, but you got Shota in there, Taillon and Wicks. It's a tough one, and plus they're all rostered.
Exactly. And yes, it is the 2 at Colorado, not the 3. So if you're trying to take advantage of that core series, again, you're starting your studs no matter what, but you're not getting those 3 Colorado games.
Kansas City Royals, 7 games this week, 4 at home against Toronto, 3 at the Detroit Tigers, five right-handed pitchers in the mix there. It feels like most of KC is accounted for, but there might be a few stragglers. Who are you looking at there?
I still like Kyle Isbell. Maybe
I have lots of shares of him, so yeah.
I do too. Maybe irrationally so, but a 17% strikeout rate hitting .216, like something doesn't equate there. Kyle Isbell should be hitting much better than .216. Has three steals, even has a home run this year with, I think, two barrels. So I'm not saying he's a stud or anything, but you get five right-handers for Kyle Isbell, I think that's useful.
Yep, usually a low 40% ground ball guy. It's the 52.4 this year. So the fly balls dropped 10% this year. If that just switches even in half, production could go. And even Gialdi agrees Isbell can be sneaky. So he's with us on that. Michael in the chat, my Tigers, like, sure, let's give all the at-bats to Kana and Vierling versus letting the young guys play jerking with Carpenter too. Yep, that sounds about right. Isn't AJ Hinch still the manager there? I don't know. Just sounds familiar. All right, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, six games this week. You got Baltimore, Minnesota all at home for six right-handed pitchers. If Nolan Schanuel is ever going to get it, and I think I butcher his name every time, so I apologize now.
Schanuel.
Nolan Schanuel. If he's ever going to get off the schneid, this might be the week.
Yeah.
Tough matchups,
but it is all righty, so there is that. I do wonder how often the mascot will play.
He's been playing. I know Drury's hurt, but when he plays, he gets at least one hit every game, it seems like, and he runs.
And steals a base. And I put a tweet out earlier. I listened to the Fantasy Feud podcast. If you don't listen to that, I highly recommend it. They were talking about – Sarah Sanchez is one of the hosts and is a big Cubs fan, was talking about how the Cubs don't run anymore. It prompted me to do a Bloom Board today on the team level change in stolen base attempt rate from last year to this year. The Cubs are the lowest. They really are not running at all. Nico Hoerner has zero steals. But the Angels are the third highest increase of any team from last season to this season. So Ron Washington was not lying when he said they want to run more. We're seeing it with Rengifo. We're seeing it with Mike Trout. Keep that in mind with the Angels. They are running often.
Yep, I'm with you. So Schanuel maybe is your guy if he can get it going. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out.
Maybe Mickey Moniak, but probably not.
Yeah, I think I had my fun with him last year. I'm just going to take those lucky stars and go a different direction. Los Angeles Dodgers, they have six games this week, all on the road. Washington and Toronto, 3-3, even split. I know Andy, was it Pajes, will be one of the popular. Did I screw that up too?
I don't know. You think you act like I know.
Geez, the way you started laughing, I'm like, God, you're setting me up for failure.
Now it's in your head.
Three-star rating coming up.
Get all hesitant when we get to a name.
he's going to be the popular name this week. He played versus lefties and righties. Seems like they want to give him some run, which is nice to see. But that'd be the main guy, I'd imagine.
Agreed. And agreed that it was nice to see Pajes start against a lefty and a righty in his two games since he was called up from AAA. So we'll talk about him a little bit, I think, on the CBS ad. The thing is, he will be a popular fab target this weekend, most likely.
Yes, most likely he will be. And it's, it's Pajes. Pajes. Pajes is how you pronounce it on Baseball Reference. So pretty close, actually. I'll take my chances there. Oh, yeah, Eric just dropped it in the chat. So appreciate that. You just keep doing that. I'll stop looking it up, Eric, and just tell me everyone that I get wrong, and I'll try to.
We've now hired Eric.
Yes. RotoWire to be your
production.
Tuesdays and Thursday nights from about 8:45 to 10. We need you over here, okay? Thank you. Miami Marlins, they have six games this week. They have three on the road in Atlanta, three at home versus the Washington Nationals. And it's one of those rare ones we don't see as often. Four lefties and two righties, so more of a lefty-heavy week here. It'd be Emmanuel Rivera, but that doesn't make me want to go run and go get him.
No, that's the problem. The fringe righties on the Marlins, and let's face it, they're all kind of fringe, are Emmanuel Rivera, Otto Lopez, Avisaíl Garcia. None of those names look that great to me, and the Marlins do look like a burning dumpster fire right now. So would not recommend really any Marlin that I can think of this week. When the Marlins play right-handed pitching, Jesus Sanchez and Nick Gordon are interesting, but not this week.
Yep, not this week, that is for sure. Milwaukee Brewers, they get 7 this week. They have 4 at the Pittsburgh Pirates, 3 at home versus the New York Yankees, 5 right-handed pitchers on the docket. Yelich might be back this week. That's kind of an up-in-the-air thing, but Jake Bowers is getting run. I still like Blake Perkins quite a bit, but that could be self-dependent on Yelich's return in that scenario. But what are you looking at with the Brewers? I guess with the back, I just think they're going to slow play Yelich right now. That's just my 2 cents.
Agreed. I like Perkins. The other thing is that green opposing strikeout minus walk rate on this board here. The quality of opposition is quite nice for the Brewers, and you get those 7 games. So targeting that. Basically, the Brewers, after Jared Jones first game, it's the aforementioned Bailey Falter and Quinn Priester, Mitch Keller, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, and Marcus Stroman. So that's a pretty juicy set of matchups for one of the best offenses in baseball, which is another reason why it doesn't make sense to rush Christian Yelich.
100% on that one. Going from one of the best offenses in baseball to one of the worst offenses in baseball, the Minnesota Twins. They play 7 games this week. They get the 4 at home versus the White Sox, and then 3 at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. 3 lefties, 4 righties doesn't help a ton in this scenario, but if you're in bi-weekly formats, it's 3 righties to start the week and 1 lefty, so you can kind of play angles of 2 lefties to end the week and 1 righty. So pick your poison.
So you could do like a Kirilloff, Wallner.
Wallner's in the minors right now.
Wallner. Yeah, he did. Jesus. He's been that bad.
They called up Trevor Larnach.
So maybe Larnach. Mm-hmm. Maybe Larnach. I don't know what he's been doing in AAA this year.
I wouldn't do that, right? It's Kirilloff or bust.
The Twins are bad. The Twins lineup is bad right now. I think they strike out a ton. They struck out a ton last year, and I don't think that has changed.
It has not changed. No.
So, anyway, maybe an early Larnach first half of the week, but I think you kind of want to stay away from this.
What if I said for the second half of the week, Jose Miranda?
I guess. No,
it's Detmers I don't want to see. That's the problem. That part scares me in Anaheim. But I will say this much about Miranda: since he's come up, he's hitting .280. He's got a home run and a stolen base. Like, he's quasi serviceable right now.
Yeah, we'll
and he's actually quasi. Playing every. He's playing.
No,
every
you're right. Day. You're right.
He's playing every day too against lefties and righties. So
shouldn't throw shade at him. Kyle Farmer's been a disappointment for me. Someone who I really like and just hasn't put it together yet.
Castro as well.
Yeah, throw him in the mix. Castro as well. It's been bad.
Minnesota, not good. New York Mets. They have 6 games this week. They get 3 at the Giants, 3 at home versus the Cardinals. 5 right-handed pitchers to face the Mets this week. If Brett Beatty comes back from his hamstring injury, possibly an option. But he was hitting well before he got hurt. Anybody else?
Nope, not really. Not gonna go out on a limb and say DJ Stewart. Although he's got some pop, but
if you like Gavin Sheets, you can probably argue for DJ Stewart. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, does strike out a ton, but the power is there. So yes, I will stand by DJ Stewart as a deep league power bet.
This
week, given the matchups,
deep league. New York Yankees, one of the best offenses in baseball, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. 7 games this week, 3 lefties, 4 righties. They play 4 at home against the A's before hitting the road for 3 at Milwaukee.
And this is the easiest schedule of any team. So, I mean, it's right there with Milwaukee, but Milwaukee and the Yankees with the 7 games with just, I mean, Sears, Blackburn, Joe Boyle rules, Alex Wood, Colin Ray, Wade Miley. Like, it's a great week to be a New York Yankee. The problem is, I don't know who you're picking up. Like, Oswaldo Cabrera's hitting like 8th or 9th. DJ LeMay,
he might be back next week too.
That could
be the pickup, weirdly enough.
Yeah, that could be. You have a weird obsession with DJ LeMay.
Obsession's a strong word, but okay.
Oswaldo's hitting .309. Oswaldo Cabrera, .309, 3 homers, 10 runs, 13 steals. Probably pretty widely rostered, but with a 7-game week, I like that.
Okay. Oakland Athletics, 7 games on the week here, all on the road against the Yankees and the Orioles. 3 lefties, 4 righties. Estuary Ruiz?
Dude, they got to play the guy, right?
They're platooning him at the end of last year. They're going to platoon him to start the year before the AAA. They're platooning him since they called him back up. I don't see it changing, but could be wrong.
They have to, man. It's just...
It's the A's. Do they have to do anything?
No, they don't have to do anything. But it's just funny how he comes in, hits 2 homers and 15 plate appearances, 2 steals already. I don't know. Yeah, no one else is. I would add, I just have to think Ruiz plays.
I'm with you. He should. He reminds me, like, if you want to roll with the major league thing some more, he is literally the Willie Mays Hayes of the group to learn how to hit in the season in Major League 2, where he's got the power.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. I wasn't following, but I got you now.
Yeah. No, he's legit that guy, but it's the whole, we called him up. This guy's garbage. And now he's going to start doing his thing again. It's a combination of season one. First movie, second movie with Willie Mays.
90% rostered Estuary Ruiz in NFBC 12 teamers, but only 10% started. So a lot of folks are stashing Estuary Ruiz. If you are stashing Ruiz, this is obviously you want to start him here given the schedule of the 7 games.
You have 62% Yahoo, so he's actually been held on to quite a bit around the league or picked up in the last few days. Philadelphia Phillies, 7 games on the docket. All on the road at Cincinnati and Great American Small Park for 4, and then at the Padres for 3. 5 righties. I'm going to say it like I did last week. Get Brandon Marsh in your lineups, please. Yep. Anybody else for you?
Not really. Nope.
Yeah, they're pretty. And Castellanos is coming, folks. It's coming. It's coming, I promise. Pittsburgh Pirates, 7 games. They got the Milwaukee Brewers for 4 to start the week, and then 3 at the Giants. 3 lefties, 4 righties with the Pirates.
Yeah, like it's weird that all the 7 game schedules are like very pretty split even between lefty righty. So you can't do rowdy, I don't think. Would love to see Pittsburgh play Edward Olivares a little bit more. Started the last 2 games against one against a righty, one against a lefty, but sat the previous 2. Michael A. Taylor has also been inconsistent, so just would like to see some of those guys play a little bit more.
Pick one of them.
Exactly. Exactly. But they're not, so it's tough to pick those guys up. I really like Olivares. I'd try and hold if I can to see if they play him.
And then I'll mention the guy you've been mentioning. I got rostered in many leagues. Jared Triolo is still out there in a lot of leagues, and he's productive. He'll play against lefties and righties. So yep. Deeper formats, he's a serviceable product. Second base, third base in most formats. San Diego Padres, 7 games this week. They get wonderful 4 games in Coors Field and 3 at home versus the Phillies. Coors is Gomber, Feltner, Hudson, Freeland. It doesn't really matter, no, but they get 4 amazing matchups. So
this is what you live for, right?
Yes.
It does get tougher the back half, the weekend half at...
I don't care. You can get like a 4-week production in 4
exactly.
Years.
Exactly. The back half hosting Philly with Nola, Ranger Suarez, and legend Christopher Sanchez is tough. But yeah, those first 4, like that's what we dream about as weekly preview fab hosts. That's what you want.
Go get Jerks and Profar because not enough people did last week. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep. Yep.
San Francisco Giants, 6 games this week. They get, they're all at home, which is nice. 3 against the Mets, 3 against the Pirates. This is a decent matchup if you look into the K to walk situation.
Yep.
But it's the Giants, so their offense is pretty abysmal to begin with.
So, I mean, yeah, you're the Giants guy, but 4 lefties. So Austin Slater is interesting to me, especially given, the 8% strikeout minus walk of the 6 pitchers opposing the Giants this week. I think it's, this is hopefully the kickstart that offense needs. But
yeah, Slater, Wilmer Flores week. He came in and pinched it on Thursday night when the lefty came in and smoked a 2-run double. So like,
yep,
there's this is the time to use those players.
Yep.
Seattle Mariners, they have 6 games this week. They have 3 at Texas, 3 at home versus Arizona, 5 right-handed bats. Pitchers.
Yes. Starting to turn things around in Seattle. They did just sweep the Reds. But streaming-wise, fantasy-wise, I don't see anything here, to be honest with you. Like, their fringe, the Mariners' back half of that order, their fringe starters are not fantasy-worthy to me. So,
yeah, no, I'm 100% with you on that one. St. Louis Cardinals, they play 6 this week, 3 against Arizona, 3 on the road against the New York Mets, 2 lefties, 4 righties. not a ton that jumps out there.
No, they've been pretty steady lately. The Cardinals have. Victor Scott has started one of the last four games.
Yeah,
as we kind of talked about.
Bye bye, folks.
Before Ivan Herrera has started three of the last four games, two at catcher, one at DH. So Ivan Herrera is, you may think of him as a backup catcher with Wilson Contreras, but if they start DHing him even once or twice a week, Ivan Herrera, I think, becomes a top 15 catcher.
I'll listen to you. I love to hear
Look
that.
Look at this.
That is beautiful.
Hanging out with you too much, but that's and like, I mean, he's awesome, dude. He's legitimately he's really good. It's always just been playing time, and the Cardinals are now showing the ability or the willingness, I should say, to play him.
So yeah, I can't remember how you just phrased that there about Herrera, but it's something like if you need a catcher, but I'm like, if they've been listening to this show, they should know by now you shouldn't be rostering Ivan Herrera. That's just a thing. Gialdi says in the chat here, do you guys think the Herrera run continues? I do. I 100% do, because they want to keep Contreras healthy as long as possible. So Herrera will play. Like, there was a game, like you mentioned, Herrera DH and Contreras cut. Like, they want these bats out there. So it's there. The other name I'll mention, though, because he was kind of a either like last round pick or left on the wire, Mason Wynn has been very productive to start the season.
Okay.
And like, some people are wondering if he'd do it this year, next year, whatever. And it could also drop off, could be an early season success story and teams figure him out again. Who knows? But right now he's playing very well. If you need middle infield help, Mason Wynn's a guy. Just go check your waiver wires and see if he's available. Situation.
And very highly regarded as a prospect, didn't hit the ground running last year, but as we've seen a million times, round two is looking pretty good. 18% strikeout rate, or no, 20% strikeout rate, a few steals already, hitting .347 for Mason Wynn. So
yeah, I watched a lot of Cardinals against the A's early this week, and Wynn was always involved in something, and that glove is legit, so he's not going anywhere. That glove is awesome, so lots to like there. Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games this week. They get the Tigers at home for three, at the Chicago White Sox. It's almost as good as playing in Coors Field for three. Five right-handed pitchers, so the platoon-heavy Rays, you might have a slight advantage on this one.
Yes. It's first off, nice to see Amed Rosario playing every day. He has been very nice. Richie Palacios is hitting second or third against right-handed pitching for the Rays. So Richie Palacios is a stream for me this week with the five right-handed pitchers that Tampa's scheduled to get.
I love that. Love that call with Bill. Richie Palacio, one of the fighting Palacio eyes from last season. So let's have some fun there. Richie, Texas Rangers, they have six games on the docket this week, all at home against Cincinnati and Seattle. Five right-handed pitchers. Most guys are not available, though, but anybody stand out to you?
I picked up some Josh Smith.
Yep, I'm with you.
Last week he's been good. He's hitting .320. He doesn't have a homer or steal yet, but making a ton of contact. 10% strikeout rate for Josh Smith and
Josh H. Smith. Everybody,
Josh H. Smith. Yes, he's on the CBS list that we'll get to after this. But I think Josh Smith against five righties will play five times, and kind of a tough schedule. But I like Josh Smith as at third base and wherever the hell else he called. I think shortstop and outfield.
Yep.
Very useful piece.
Yep, no power yet, but he sits safely in 14 of his last 16 games on a 7-game hitting streak. So,
Anthony Gialdi in the chat, what the F happened to Ezekiel Duran?
That must have been a different. Yeah, I don't know. Not good.
Yeah, it's been a tough start. Nathaniel Lowe, I don't know when he's coming back. You figure he's coming back, right?
Sorry, Eric Alterman, just Josh Smith now says BR. No. Eric, you're
Bubba struggling with the pronunciation, throwing that extra H in there.
Well, I was doing that to you because last week, every time you're like, you kept emphasizing the H. So that's good stuff there. Love it.
That's awesome.
As Jolly says, low is supposed to be soon. It is weird, though, for someone like myself that does news every day. There hasn't been an update on him in like a week. So I haven't seen anything on him. And he had that oblique injury that kept him out most of spring. And so we're going on over a month of getting back here. So makes you wonder how bad that really was. All right, few more to go here. Toronto Blue Jays, they have a 7-game week on tap. They get Kansas City Royals for four and then three at home against the Dodgers. We know at least five righties and one lefty, and then a to be determined by the Doyers, because they have a lot going on there. Bueller had a rough rehab start on Thursday. Yeah. So yeah. He might not be ready just yet. So the Jays might have a nice like bullpen. It might be a Yarborough game for all we know. So we'll see.
And Ryan Yarborough got the win in the perfectly scripted game against the Nats, where he came in the second or third inning with the lead and got the win. So, yeah, I do not know what the LA rotation is going to look like in the second half of this week. So take the Toronto schedule with a little bit of a grain of salt. But if it is a right hand heavy week, maybe some Kevin Biggio. That's probably the only kind of fringe streamer that the Blue Jays have. Biggio's hitting .292, striking out almost a third of the time without much power. So the skills haven't really been there, but Biggio is playing. It'd be a 15 team like conditional bid for me.
For sure. And last but not least, the Washington Nationals. They had six games this week, three at home against the Dodgers, three on the road in Miami, four righties on tap there. It's three righties to start the week, and then two out of three lefties to end the week.
So that, not really schedule related, but that tweet that I had about team level increase in stolen base attempt rate from last year to this year, number one is the Washington Nationals. They are running like crazy, and would be running even more if CJ Abrams stopped hitting home runs.
That's true. Yeah.
Jacob Young is starting to play mm-hmm. center field against both lefty righty. I know, mm-hmm. Bubba, you were on him a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you your much deserved credit there, striking out just 13% of the time with six steals.
He runs wild, folks. He
will. Jacob Young in 39 plate appearances. So probably the top stolen base ad. I know you're not probably targeting categories this early in the season, but Jacob
Young should be. I think that's a good one. And I will say, looking at their schedule, that first start, it says hurt for the Dodgers. That'll be a bullpen game as well. I believe that was the one Yarborough came in. That'll be the Yarborough game. So it goes righty, then lefty.
So it's is hurt an actual dude? Or like, yeah, is my script saying so the pitcher got hurt?
Hurt's an actual dude. Good joke, though. But hurt's an actual dude. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, Jacob Young, I am all aboard that train. So technically, it could almost be five lefties if you count Yarborough in that first game. Yeah. When you look at the Nats, if depends on how the management takes care of things there, but you could get five lefties in theory, and then which might hurt guys like Jesse Winker for the week. Also, if we do a reverse, not just add guys, if you added Jesse Winker this past week, you might not want to keep him for the following week type situation. Gialdi mentioned, may have missed it. Are you guys dropping Max Meyer in 15s? I am too. Yes, because if they're going to play this game, I can just try to get him back later, because who knows when later will be, honestly. Plus, if Garrett, I know we haven't heard anything since his latest situation, but if he comes back and they're keeping Puck in the rotation, there's nowhere for Meyer right now. So,
yep.
Yeah. And then you always say, let's talk about just Winker's crushing it. Winker's phenomenal, but I just don't know
if he plays. He's hitting second. I think he's safe. Safe.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so, but we'll see. I picked him up in a few leagues this past week, so pretty happy with that one. All right, it's time to flip the page here, Bloomfield. Let's talk CBS risers for the week. Start with the hitting side of things. There's Jurickson and Profar, who we've talked about, and then there's Andy Páez, who is going to be a popular addition for the week. So let's just have fun here, Ryan. How aggressive would you be on Mr. Páez?
I wouldn't be. I'd rather, and I don't know what the price will be. I'd rather, and the price could very much change depending on how Páez does this weekend. But it's just not. I'm not the one who typically bids big on prospects. I just think, especially with some of the swing and miss that he has, that Páez has, I just think that adjustment could be tough. We hit on Jerks and Profar, so the top ad with that Colorado foursome coming to. In Coors this week, Profar is an awesome ad. And look at our guy, or me and Gialdi's guy, not your guy, Jesse Winker.
I said I added him in a lot of places. Do not throw that one under my bus.
Is hitting, like I said, second or third, not striking out that much. Already has five barrels and 68 plate appearances. Stole a couple bases because, again, Washington runs like crazy. Jesse Winker is someone in CBS leagues. He's gone up from 3% last week to 22% with really good skills. So I think Jesse Winker, I think you ride that wave a little bit.
Ryan O'Hearn's here. He had a good week. The Orioles had a lot of righties this week. if you can do bi-weekly moves or you're in daily leagues, the second half of the week, they get that ace set up there with you'll get or no, that's against the that is the ace. Why does it say Burns?
What?
Oh, I can't read it. Stripling. I'm an idiot. Stripling. I'm reading something else. Stripling, Sears, and Blackburn. So you get Stripling and Blackburn to finish the week on 2 out of 3 if you feel like getting a little weird there with O'Hearn.
I feel like O'Hearn is rising because of the all-righty week that the Orioles are currently in, and I'm not that interested. Actually, I just don't think O'Hearn's playing against lefties or playing that well if he does. So Ryan O'Hearn for me is not a priority given the three righties that Baltimore is scheduled to face next week.
What's your thoughts on Jonathan Clase of the Seattle Mariners? He got called up, tons of speed throughout the minor leagues. They need some help to get that offense kind of moving there. Would that be anything that gets, like we talked about our national speed demon down there? Do you have any desire for like a Class A to maybe get things going?
Not really. I do think I do think Seattle will give him some run, and the stolen base upside is, I mean, it is huge. The dude stole 79 bases last year, but also struck out 28% of the time at Double A and like 500 plate appearances. So like, I don't know how long the Mariners can really run Jonathan Clase out there, but so I'm not, I think it's just a one trick pony.
Yeah. He played in all three games so far, did strike out 33% of the time, but does have a steal and a couple hits. So could be slightly interesting. There's Josh Smith on that list, Jefferson Herrera. I like Jeffers over Herrera just because Jeffers will play every single day, but both are very good.
Brenton Doyle's on the list. We talked about with the Coors week. Brenton Doyle's worth an ad.
Yeah, definitely worth an ad. Other than that, it's a lot of guys. There's Mason Wynn down there. The farther you go, here's your boy Rosario. Otherwise, it's a lot of guys we've talked about in the past. Luis Garcia is still down there for the Nats. He's a guy that I like a lot. And he's had a good week this week. Anybody else that kind of stands out to you as a guy to really target for the week?
Got the double Luis Garcia problem
that we haven't talked about yet, at least, I guess.
Yeah, I know. And we kind of, when we run through schedules, we talk a lot about these guys already. So Luis Garcia is mildly interesting to me with the Nats. I believe he homered this week.
Yes, he did.
Anthony Rendon. I mean, again, we can clown on him. He's playing well. He's got a 19% strikeout rate. He's stolen some bases. Hasn't hit for power, but I don't know.
And third base is so depleted these days.
Exactly. Especially if, like, did Brian Hayes come back since our show on Tuesday? I don't know what that looks like.
No, he is not.
There's just injuries galore at third base.
Yep, there's quite a bit on that one. Let's flip to the pitching side of things here. Jack Leiter leads the way, as you'd expect. But you got Jose Buto, you got Kirby Yates, you got Yairo Rodriguez, guys we talked about were added quite a bit last week.
Yep, and Yates has had a week on the heels of some pretty major fab bidding. I think in your shallower leagues, it's safe to, and I know like in certain shallow leagues or holds, saves plus holds, whatever, Kirby Yates is obviously the skills look awesome. You can see on for the pitchers with CBS on the stream here, we have K minus walk, swinging strike rate, and ball percentage. And Kirby Yates is missing a ton of bats, and a 28% K minus walk is awesome. Jose Buto is someone who I do want to talk about. Has been electric for the Mets. The only thing coming up is the schedule for Buto. I think he faces the Dodgers this weekend, so maybe see how that goes in some of your kind of mid-depth leagues, but Jose Buto is someone who is pitching quite well. Yariel Rodriguez, we don't know how deep he's going to go in the games yet. I know we both got him in some leagues last week, but has not pitched yet this week, so I'd probably pitch Friday or Saturday.
Pitches Friday, pitches tomorrow.
So let's see what that pitch count and innings count looks like before taking that plunge.
Yeah, he's interesting to me because I'm guessing he goes 3 to 4 innings again. And if all goes well, then he gets at Kansas City next week. And then the following week, it's Kansas City and Washington two-step. If you like him at all, you better get him this week. So I'm trying to say, because it's going to get pricey the following week.
I think I know the answer on this, but since James MacArthur is on the rundown and they are basically the same CBS ownership, 39% and 42%, rest of season, Kirby Yates or James General MacArthur?
Oh, I'm a James McArthur guy through and through. That's my guy. I still think Robertson's going to get his fair share of action there. Kirby Yates is good, but...
And I don't know if Yates is out of the blue from just, like, injuries. He's older. Like, yeah, McArthur finished the second half last year. He's one of the best relievers out there and has been one of the best relievers out there this year, too. So I'm with you on McArthur over Yates, if anyone is considering that. That's why I had
my tongue-in-cheek tweet the other day when everyone was happy with Yates.
I saw that one. That was pretty good.
Why pay triple digits for Yates when you could draft James McArthur? So
Not bad.
Fun stuff there. Yeah, Ryan Weathers, he's still there. Again, he struck out the Giants 10 times. Don't expect that again, so enjoy. yeah, but then it's like Jeff Hoffman's still there. I think that's a good add if you can get him for bullpen depth. Otherwise, it's kind of a lot of more long-shot starting pitchers, it looks like.
And this is kind of what we're – I mean, this is the point we've been hammering home, and I'm kind of glad you bring up these, you know, Hoffman versus some of these, like, Darius Vines. Go with Hoffman. Like, just try and protect those ratios as much as you can, because Michael Lorenzen, it's not going to do Colin Ray. These are the guys kind of rising along with Jeff Hoffman. Just take the ratios and the safety there. What do you think about Ben Brown? Ben Brown is on the list. I don't know if Tyon's back tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, he's back tomorrow. Brown's still up. He didn't get sent back down. Wesneski got sent back down.
Yeah. So that's intriguing. Ben Brown at least he misses bats at a league average rate, throws strikes at a league average rate. Again, kind of a league average guy. But if you are looking for trying to dig in for a late starting pitcher, there's that. Jojo Romero's on this list. If we're going to talk about kind of ratio, protecting relievers, Jojo Romero has a 33% K minus walk, which is elite. So Jojo Romero, Orion Kirkering is coming back too.
Yep, he's coming back as well.
So,
to your question about Ben Brown, he's not projected to pitch next week. He's pitching this weekend. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Wesneski or someone else get brought back up for bullpen work and Brown go back down.
That's what I worry about a little bit. And then Justin Steele will return shortly too. So,
yep. That's the conundrum in that one.
Joe Ross is a riser, just real quick. A riser that I'm not rising with.
No.
Look at the skills with Joe Ross. Granted, he's rising from 4% to 19% in CBS leagues. But you don't want Joe Ross. The control is not there. The whiffs aren't there. You don't want to go there.
Nope, you do not want to go with Ross. All right, let's talk some two steps for the week here. Last week was atrocious, pretty much. Might be a little better this week. Most might be rostered. Still, it feels like that's the trend these days. Let's have some fun with it here. Diamondbacks, you get Brandon Pfaadt at St. Louis, at Seattle. I will be starting.
Yeah. Yes. After our kind of in-depth discussion on Tuesday, Pfaadt looked pretty good on Wednesday. So against the Cubs,
he Pfaadt and won. The Atlanta Braves, Ronaldo Lopez, who you had a little snarky comment about earlier, versus Miami versus Cleveland. I think I'll be starting him.
Yes, I'll be starting him. But I think Ronaldo Lopez, if you're in a league, in a trading league, like, I think this is a sell high. Like, just from, so the skills are nowhere, no one holds a whatever 0.5 ERA.
No.
But the ERA estimators for Ronaldo Lopez are like 3.75 ish. A swinging strike rate at 10%, which is below average. He's throwing strikes at a worse than league average pace. So the skills don't support what Lopez is doing. And he hasn't thrown more than 70 innings in like forever. So ride it while he's hot, I guess. But be prepared for that to not end well with Ronaldo Lopez.
All right, Debbie Downer, Baltimore Orioles, Grayson Rodriguez.
Dude, I mean, come on.
I know, you're not wrong. I'm just saying. Grayson Rodriguez at the Angels versus Oakland. That seems pretty good.
Yes.
Boston Red Sox, Tanner Houckoff is shutout at Cleveland versus the Cubs.
Yes.
Cubs, this is up in the air still with maybe Ben Brown and whatnot, but Jordan Wicks versus Houston at Boston. That's a no for me, Doug.
That's a no. That's a no. But Wicks is not bad.
No.
Wicks is not bad. He misses a ton of bats and gets Ks. And he's not, he has a 5.29 ERA, but Wicks is very much streamable. It's just not against this.
Well, and I'm also concerned that he gets the Houston start, and then what if there's a rain out or something? Yeah. He's not going to get the second start.
Or just who knows what the rotation looks like next Sunday. This is April 28th, so.
Yep. That is scary. Cincinnati's got two two-step guys. You got at home versus Philadelphia, at the Texas Rangers. Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott.
Green, yes. Abbott, no. I know Abbott has a 270 ERA, a 107 whip. The skills are actually much worse than last year. Last year, Abbott had a 17% strikeout minus walk, 11% this year. A 6% swinging strike rate. That is terrible.
It's Graham Ashcraft. That's half. Level. That's Graham Ashcraft from last year type stuff.
Yeah, last year, Graham Ashcraft.
That's why I had to clarify. I clarified it.
So, yeah, cool. Andrew Abbott, that's a tough two-start, man. Philly at Texas.
Jesus. Yep, I won't be doing that. Green, I'm in. Abbott, no. God. Cleveland, Lively versus Boston at Atlanta, no.
Agreed.
We'll just pass on Colorado. Probably pass on Chris pass Flexen. On.
There's a soft midsection to the alphabetical order here.
Detroit Tigers, you got Scooble. Yeah, well, it doesn't matter who he's facing. You're playing Scooble. Kansas City now, you get versus Toronto and at Detroit, Brady Singer and Michael Wacha.
Well, we know your answer.
Choose wisely.
I would do Singer. I would do Wacha too.
Singer for sure. Wacha maybe.
Maybe Waka's like a 12 team versus 15 team. Yes. And a 15, you're rolling with him. I don't know.
Yeah, 12 team, I don't think you need to. Okay. 12, I think you're good. Hopefully you're good. And just so you know, Alec Marsh has a two-step the following week. That is terrifying. Angels, Reed Detmers, Baltimore, and Minnesota.
Yep.
Dodgers don't have a two-step. Marlins don't have a two-step because of all their moving parts for now. Milwaukee, Joe Ross. And Wade Miley at Pittsburgh versus the Yankees.
So I just kind of crapped on Joe Ross. Yeah, Pittsburgh.
It's pretty nice.
Decent. The Yankees, as you mentioned in our schedule thing, the Yankees offense has been pretty good, at least for WRC+. Wade Miley, no, I'm not doing that. Yep. So I probably a no for Joe Ross and Wade Miley. I could maybe see if you want to try Joe Ross, but it's what we talk about all draft season, these fringe two-steppers that can just nuke you.
Yep, I'll be out on both. No dog for me. Minnesota, you got Chris Paddock and Pablo Lopez versus the White Sox at the Angels.
Yeah, that is nice. Pretty
sweet,
isn't it?
Pretty sweet.
Paddock is tough, though. Paddock just got destroyed. Is it a whip over two? So
that's not good.
I don't think you can roll with Paddock right now, and obviously you're going with Lopez.
Yep. Mets, Quintana at the Giants versus St. Louis. I think you do it. At least in 15s.
Probably in... No, dude, he's bad.
How bad is he?
He's bad. Quintana is bad, but he has outpitched his skills by quite a bit in each of the last three seasons. That could just be getting lucky each time, or there could be something there, again, that the skills don't capture.
He's got at least five innings in his last three starts. One run, three, one, one. Right? Yeah, he doesn't strike guys out, but his ratios don't kill you either.
Yeah. All right. I definitely in a 15, I guess, for Quintana.
Especially that Giants start, and the Cardinals offense isn't scary right now.
Correct. They may wake up once if Goldschmidt and Arenado wake up.
So I think Quintana's got some legs to him, folks. Yankees, Rodon and Stroman versus Oakland at Milwaukee. So a nice one and then a tough one.
You're rolling with both of them.
Yeah. Oakland, you got J.P. Sears and Paul Blackburn at the Yankees, at the Orioles. That's a no.
So Paul Blackburn has a 108 ERA in the year.
Can you give a speech on this the way you did Ronaldo Lopez, please?
But it is hard to bench someone with a 108 ERA.
Yeah, I watched his start. I think it was the Cardinals game. And I think he had a double play in at least two-thirds of the innings to get him out of jams.
Blackburn has a 54% ground ball rate.
He needs it.
That's about the only thing. And a league average whiff rate, I might.
Oh, here we go.
No, all right. I'm out.
You're about to get Feltnered. That's going
to
be
I'm
good.
I'm about to get Feltnered. Recovered somewhat.
Yes, he did. He actually did do pretty well. And the underlying metrics still look good. Phillies have Taiwan Walker going at Cincy, at San Diego. I'm not sure exactly if that's how that's going to break down this week, but that's right. What they have for now.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that's going to happen. If it is Walker, I would not throw that just because I don't even know how deep he'll go in those games.
Cincinnati would be his first start, and it's in Great American.
Yep. Agreed.
Pittsburgh, Jared Jones and Mr. Bailey Falter himself versus Milwaukee at the Giants.
Jones, of course. Bailey Falter, of course not.
The Giant starts pretty nice. That Giant starts pretty nice. The Giant starts nice. The Milwaukee starts terrifying. The Giant starts nice, though.
Dude.
I wouldn't do it. William Contreras might hit three home runs off of him. But, Jones, yes. Falter, no. But it made me think. Padres, Dylan Cease and Michael King at Coors Field at home versus Philadelphia.
Yeah, you roll with them both. I mean, at Coors Field is not scary.
No, not with that Rockies offense. Not a chance, folks.
And Michael King did rebound. Michael King had a tough start to the year. Struck out 10 in his most recent start.
Had a no-no going, too.
Yep, exactly. The day I panned him in my speculator column, so that was cool.
Well done, well done. Seattle, you got Logan Gilbert at Texas versus the D-backs. Yep. Giants. Keaton Wynn versus the Mets versus the Pirates. Yes.
You like Keaton Wynn.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
His underlying, he's had some bad luck, but he pitched much better in his last start. The kid's good.
And the matchups are awesome.
Yep.
So
Keaton Wynn might be one of your waiver wire ones, folks, this week. If there haven't been a lot of them, he might be one of them.
57% ground ball rate and a 33% ball rate. So that tells me he throws strikes and keeps the ball on the ground. God, nasty splitter. 43 throws a splitter. 43%. I gotta watch this guy.
Yeah, he's good. I told you. Remember the first week of Tout, and he wasn't available, and how pissed off I was. I tried to add him out the gate.
You were not happy with our service provider.
No, with our service provider, not one bit. One thing I do want to mention is, if you look at, let's see, he was here earlier this year. If you look at Stuff Plus, as of probably yesterday's stats, Keaton Wynn is 16th at pitcher right now in Stuff Plus.
Wow. Okay.
So if you believe in those metrics, I know not everybody does. Just want to throw it out there.
That's super. I mean, it's for outliers like that. I absolutely take stock in that. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. He's going around like Merrill Kelly. He's in between Merrill Kelly and Tarik Skubal. Christopher Sanchez, Tyler Glasnow are behind him. Garrett Crochet is behind him. So, yes.
That's notable for me.
St. Louis Cardinals, Lance Lynn versus Arizona at the New York Mets. I almost do that. Lynn's actually been kind
of. Dude, I am like, I almost ranted the other day.
Yes.
Dude, Lance Lynn has a 2.18 ERA. You have got to be kidding me.
Yep. The A's start helped, but yes.
Dude, that pisses me off.
And everyone's going to pitch him this week, and we know how the story goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, dude had a 573 ERA last year with much better skill. That's the thing. This year, the skills are – the strikeout rate's down. The whiffs are down. And dude has a – God, don't get me started. No, I'm not starting Lance Lynn.
Okay. Good to hear. I didn't know if you're going to change your mind there. Tampa Bay, you got Lytle versus Detroit at the White Sox. Yes.
Yep.
Texas, John Gray versus Seattle versus Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like John Gray, but the Seattle starts nice, and it's Cincinnati at home. So.
Yep, I'm with you there. Toronto, Kikuchi and Gossman at KC versus the Dodgers. I think you still got to do it, even though there's a Dodger start.
What is your concern level? Yes, I'm starting both. What is your concern level on Gossman?
Zero. Agreed. What I saw last time, like the control's still not there, but that kind of makes sense for a guy that's still kind of getting back on the mound. The velo's back, like I'm good.
Whiffs galore. I'm not worried at all about Kevin Gossman.
The command will come back here in the next start or two, and then like he might slice and dice the Dodgers up by then, hopefully. So yep. I'm all good. Washington, Patrick. Okay, never mind. Yep. All right, that'll wrap us.
We're done.
Yeah, because it's like I saw Patrick and the Dodgers. Like, yep, we're good. Don't even have to go farther on that one. It's Dodgers and Miami. Yeah, don't matter. All right, so that wraps that up on that. Any final thoughts on the Week 5 Fab preview before we get to a couple of listener questions?
No, we covered a lot of stuff, and I know it's super valuable for me. Hopefully it is for everyone else. It's kind of like rapid fire, go through a bunch of different names. So,
Yep, hopefully it worked out for you all because we enjoy doing it and get, like you said, it's a lot of stuff coming through there. So quite helpful there. Let me find it. I had a bunch of different ones from today. Calling my shot. Are there any early nominees for this year's Gene Segura Award? That is, players who were drafted as boring everyday lineup locks, but then you look up in July and realize how much they've been hurting you. My early nominee is Andrew Vaughn.
This is my favorite question of the night. The Gene Segura Award, yeah, is that like mid-round, maybe mid, it's not an early, like we all know Julio Rodriguez has been kind of bad, and like you know about that. This is your mid-round guy. You put at corner, middle, your fifth outfielder who plays every day, and it's 2 months in, and you have no idea that he has been doing nothing for 2 months, and you've had him in your lineup for way too long. That's the Gene Segura Award. For me, I will go with Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo is someone who's playing every single day. When you go to lineups and you see that he's active and he's at your corner and you keep him in your corner, Anthony Rizzo is hitting 240 with one home run and seven RBI. He's basically done nothing for you. And it's someone who, at least in the back of my mind, I see him in my lineup and I keep him there.
Yeah, he's my one of my most rostered players right now.
I didn't want to. Yeah, no, I feel like I might have taken your guy.
No, that was the guy I was going to mention, because I have him literally in 56% of my leagues. So, and I look at it every week. I dropped Josh Bell last week where I had Josh Bell. Now, next would be like if there's a good first baseman that ever shows up on the waiver wire, Rizzo might get the axe type situation.
I'm glad we discussed it, because now we are at least aware of maybe not leaving Rizzo in for another month.
One that I'll mention that I'm not nervous about yet, but I've already heard rumblings, and I think he's looked better this week, but if things don't change, you're going to hear a lot of Thyro Estrada. They'll say that much. He's hitting around 250. He's got three homers, but no steals.
Yeah, he's been fine.
And he's hitting like sixth. Well, from the expectations in the preseason, if he's hitting 250 with like eight home runs and like two steals in another month, people are not going to be happy with what's going on there. That's Gene Segura-esque type stuff. So that's a guy I'd kind of keep on your radar. Like, you're not dropping him right now. Like, we would drop Rizzo, but Estrada would be a dude that could I could see being in that conversation if things don't change quickly.
Another honorable mention. I don't know if he typically applies, because Nick Castellanos has done nothing, but he is one of your earlier bats. So
yeah, he's gonna break out. Like, his metrics still look totally
and
yes, fine.
Yes, agree. And I do think he will break out. So, but he has done nothing. He's hitting 159 with no home runs. So.
You need someone to go on live television and get ready for an apology, and he's gonna hit a 3-run homer to deep left, and then it's gonna break wide open. So we're good. We know how it works with Castellanos. Gaman 8 says, prediction for Páez stat line for the next month. That's a rich question. A guy that's played two games in the bigs, did get a base hit in his first at bat. The lazy answer is his rest of season projection has him hitting about 230 with eight home runs over 50 games.
Over 50 games. So that, cut that in half. I'd even take the under on the batting average.
Yeah.
But probably maybe 3-4 home runs in a month, something like that.
Yep. You're looking for power with him and scoring some runs. I don't see a big average coming his direction right away. Could be totally wrong. It's just not my bag when it comes to prospects, as most people that listen to us know. All right, Mr. Bloomfield, that will wrap us up. Any final thoughts heading into the weekend? You got a fun one ahead of you. So good luck with all of that, but any final thoughts?
I don't think I have any final thoughts. I think I'm fried.
All right. I'd like to say thanks to the chat. You guys crushed it.
Chat was awesome. That's a good final thought.
Eric Halterman, there's a standing invitation Tuesdays and Thursdays evenings. You're more than welcome. I'll talk to Erickson. We'll get that lined out. But other than that, I think we're good, my friend.
Yeah. No, like I said, covered a bunch of good stuff. Very, hitter heavy, I think, fab period, and just not much pitchers, which.
Nope.
That's going to be a trend, folks. 2024.
Going to be a trend. That's why I was kind of a little more aggressive in my mind on Yariel Rodriguez, because I'm willing to take a chance on a guy I see potential. And I didn't want – I'll say it on air, because Twitter would have blown up in the wrong direction. We got window here. Because right now everyone's like, oh, he's not going to go deep into the games, but he's also getting stretched out. We got to remember that. Like, he's getting stretched out. The goal, I think, is to have Rodriguez go 5 to 6 innings a start. That would be the goal, I'd imagine. You know who else did this about 2 years ago? Spencer Strider. Yes. Now, I'm not saying he's Spencer Strider in that world.
It on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah. But I wanted to explain, like, this could be a guy and give him a month to stretch out. Now you got a guy going 5 to 6, maybe getting you a K per inning. And we've had, like, it's a big if, but take the chance now thing is what I'm trying to say. So, yep. So I want to throw it out there. You might want to do that with more pitching as the point, because it sucks out there. But all right.
Eric says, great show, guys. I'll be here whenever you mispronounce somebody. So appreciate it,
man. I'm going to hold you to that, Eric. Thank you much. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 127. Catch y'all next time.